Welcome to this episode of Girls Just Want to Tell Stories, a podcast about friendship from childhood to middle age and all the stories in between. In this episode, we're talking about all the different types of friends we've made over the years and how these friendships are meaningful in different ways. It's been said if you can count the number of close friends you have on one hand, you should consider yourself lucky. And we certainly do.
Hey, I'm Katie.
And I'm Janine. Welcome to Girls Just Want to Tell Stories.
Okay, so today, hi listeners, we're going to talk to you about the types of friends that you need in your life. And I want you to visualize sort of the rings of a tree. And starting from the very center of that tree rings, you'll have your closest BFFs, people that mean the most to you, and how important those connections are. They're sort of your lifelong pals and maybe people that you grab along the way as you go. And then you move out from the center, and the friends in that circle might be mentors, or I like the term double date friends, because I think that's important too. Like, you need to have friends that you can like go out on a double date with, and that seems simple enough, but it can be challenging. Yeah. And moving from that circle, you might come into, you know, your work friends, colleagues, or friends that you have with hobbies that you do. And then sort of the outermost circle from the center are, you know, friends of friends that you consider your friends, but maybe isn't somebody that you would necessarily pick up the phone to call, or neighbors, or, you know, people in your community.
Like those people you see walking the dog. I know I see the same.
Yes.
My dog, totally do. And you say hi, but you know, you maybe don't even, I find I know their dog's names more than I know.
Exactly. Names. Right.
You know, if you see them in the grocery store, you say hello and that sort of thing. I know when I first read about kind of this concept of the number of human connections that we really, one person can really maintain, it's that like 150 number. And
which is a lot still, really.
Right, right. But that's because you're so far out as to include the barista at Starbucks, right, in that right. 150. Right. Like, you know that person. But really, you know, shrinking it all the way back in, the fact that if you can count on your hand, you know, the number of people that would, I like to put it like lay down on the railroad tracks for you, you should consider yourself lucky, right? Like it's really not about the quantity, it's the quality of your friendships. And we want to talk today about, you know, some stories that we have about friends in our different circles and how they've maybe moved, you know, from someone that we maybe casually knew, an acquaintance, had become a very close friend. It reminded me of, did you see that movie, Meet the Fockers? Do you remember that movie with?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's the whole circle of trust, right? And yes. We're talking about these circles. We kept using the word in our last episode, and it really is a nice way to kind of think about the different types of friends that we have.
I'm sort of lucky in that way. In my most center circle, I have two sort of tight circles of high school friends. And I think it just came out of necessity because y'all had boyfriends. And I was like, hey, what am I doing over here when I didn't have boyfriends anymore? So I was able to form sort of a second really good core of high school friends that's still in the circle. So I feel very blessed with that.
Yeah. And we both made a lot of friends when we've moved, right? When picked up roots and gone to a new place. And that's not always easy to make new friends. And in fact, you had a very significant move, you know, in the last several years, when you moved from Montana to Florida. What was that like and how did that affect your friendships?
Well, first of all, I never thought I'd leave California. And that process, I believe, was the hardest. So we left California in 2004 and moved to Montana. And so also talking about the different types of friends, it's how you meet friends. So at the time, you know, we had all of our kids with us. And I remember I got a job. So it was like kind of a, this circle of work friends, right? And then there was a mom that I got to know, and her son and my son became best friends. So she and I became very close. And then our husbands actually both loved hunting. So it was like this trifecta for us. Like, she was my friend, our son were friends, and our husbands were friends. So I felt very blessed with that. But that transition to Montana was challenging. And so moving, we lived there for 11 years. And then moving from Montana to Florida, we came just the two of us, no kids. And so you're all of a sudden, well, how do I meet people? That can be kind of comes a big issue, right? You know, meeting people at a later stage. And we've been here for 5.5 years now, and I don't have as many close friends. I have a very few here, but I also have found that it allows me more time with my husband, which, you know, for so many years, you're just bouncing around and raising kids and coaching soccer and everything else. So it's been challenging, I won't lie. Being here, I'm much further away from my core friends and my family. So it's been challenging. And I know for you as well, I mean, you've been in the same place for a bit, but you made the transition from, you know, your college to now. So you can talk about that too. Like, how, what the experience was for you.
And even when I migrated south to college in Santa Barbara, and really never returned home, right? So that move to Southern California as a young adult was a big move from someone who had grown up in the same hometown for my whole life. And part of that was I made in college a close friend that lived down in this area and was able to kind of live with her while I got my first job and all that sort of thing, and settled into Orange County. And that was in, 1989, and I'm still here.
Oh my gosh.
I did find a good spot. But when I made that move, I didn't know what to expect. And I really didn't know a lot of people in Southern California, although a lot of kids I went to school with did live in this particular area. But my friend gave me a place to, crash while I figured out my life and where I wanted to live. And, it turned out to be a great move in terms of geography. I do love where I live.
Sure.
And but where I really then made my friends were at work, where I worked at a company and for a length of time. And there were a lot of people my age at the time there, and, really formed these close friendships that, to this day, and I haven't worked there in, over 13 years, I'm still close friends with. So that circle, really added into my friendships.
Yeah. I think that even though you are in Southern California, you're still relatively close to home, quote unquote home, if you need to get home, 6 hours. Yeah. And I am envious in the fact that you have been somewhere for so long. Mm-hmm. You really do have the core. I mean, I miss that. I'll be honest. Yeah. I miss being able just to go to the grocery store and see somebody I know. It's few and far between here. And I am a huge social person. So that part is very challenging. But for us, the weather here is fantastic. So you really can do a lot of outdoor things year round. Although I say that, and I was wearing a scarf earlier because it's cold in Florida today.
I accused you of being a poser.
You did. But, I am envious, and I look at people that I know that we knew from high school that have never left. Like, they're still in Sonoma County, and they have, I just think, oh my gosh, that part is enviable to me.
Yeah.
But I'm the one that left. So can't complain too much,
Well, and we talked about too, what it's interesting when you go somewhere and you meet somebody, and then you also meet their circle of friends, right? So sometimes,
yes.
So I'll tell a quick story here about, so that my friend that I made in college that, helped me when I first moved here, I met one of her friends. We went out to Palm Springs for a girls' weekend, and I met a close friend of hers that was a high school close friend. And then this person and I have become friends. And we're talking like 35 years later, we're still all very good friends. And, it was when people ask, well, how did you guys become friends? It's like, well, she was her friend, but then she became my friend. And now we're all friends, kind of story. But I thought it would be fun to share the meeting of the my friend here in Orange County that helped me when I came here, we were in college and we were going on a ski trip. Like they would, all the UCs would go to one designated resort for breaks. So this is winter break. So this is winter of 1985. I don't know anybody. I'm, 18 years old.
So you went alone. Essentially, I mean, without knowing anyone, like that's huge.
I signed up on the board. There was no electronic sign up online. Like there's some piece of paper on a wall.
That's still on a bulletin board. Yes, that really happened, folks.
Yes. So I sign up to go on this trip and I schlep all my ski stuff and I'm sitting on this wooden fence, like thinking, oh my God, there's all these people. And if you're a freshman, I felt just scared if nothing else, but excited to go to Colorado because I'd skied my whole life in Tahoe in California. So that was a big deal. Anyways, this blonde comes bopping around. She's just like the Energizer Bunny talking to people. And she's got this bag with her, though, this bag of like food. Now, what is she doing? And she just comes up and starts talking to me. And she was older than I was. She was an older student than I was. And she was on this health kick and she was trying to eat healthy. And again, this was before, veganism was what it is now and gluten-free. I mean, there's none of that back then, but she was somehow experimenting with all that. So she has this bag of muffins.
Hilarious.
She offers me a muffin. I'm okay, and we get on this bus and we decide, well, you want to sit together? Sure. Let's sit together. Okay. Well, that bus ride was 24 hours with a bunch of college students.
Oh, I love it.
And passing around, shots of drinks. And it was craziness. Now, because she was on this health kick, she didn't participate in any of that. But she was the wildest one in the whole bus. Like she was crazy and fun. And
We don't say names on here, but Rapunzel, that's her nickname.
Exactly.
Go Rapunzel.
Exactly. Katie's husband has given her a nickname either.
God.
So this is a fun way too, about how, the friendships intersect and cross over and you know her as well.
Right.
But it was really a fun trip. And that that really just set the stage for a lifelong friendship. And and we have had the benefit of being geographically located in the same, county. We, live about a half hour apart. So it's much easier to get together. But on the other hand, we, got busy raising kids. She has three boys in our lives and we didn't see each other all that often. And now that all the kids are grown, we're able to see each other a little bit more.
Yeah. See, that's a great story about because she would fall in my outer circle, right? Because she's a friend of a friend, but I feel like if I were around her, in fact, I believe it was probably 10 years ago now, we had a girls' trip in Orange County and she was invited and it was like, hey, here she is. We all like it. We went out and we were dancing and having a great time together. So yeah, I love that friendship circles can mix and mingle and,
Well, and there's the friends too, where, and you probably feel this too, where maybe you don't talk to them for a period of time. Doesn't mean you're not thinking about them. Doesn't mean they're not important. But it could be a couple months before you have a back and forth contact. And in some cases it can be even years. I don't know if you have anybody like that you've been kind of in touch and then out of touch with.
Well, it reminds me of just a story from when I was a flight attendant, which was probably circa 1987, 88. And again, like no cell phone. So I think, how did I even really get in contact with this person? But I was on a layover in San Diego and she lived in San Diego and I reached out to her and we were friends in high school, but not really, she wasn't my tight circle, but we did activities together. And anyway, I saw her there and I just remember it was great, like being her friend. And even now, she's not really somebody that I'm super close with, but she unfortunately had a tragedy. She lost her husband in the last year. And so we've been able to reach out to one another on Facebook. And I'm sure it's the kind of thing, if I were back in Sonoma County and I were to hook her up, it would be like, hey, we would meet, have lunch, coffee, whatever. And it'd be like, no time has passed. So I think that those friendships are, they're very special in a very unique kind of way, where you don't really need that constant check-in, but you can just pick up the phone or, see them years later, oftentimes.
Yeah. Cause there might be, that event like that, and I was thinking for myself, one of my college roommates was from Hawaii. And after college in Santa Barbara, she went back to Hawaii. And so, you know, that's quite the distance to cover. And, you know, a long periods of time will go by and then I'll get a call. Hey, I'm going to be in California. You know, can we get together? And I mean, you know, and that person like stays in your home and you're with them in a way that's not just like a half hour coffee meetup kind of thing. And in fact, the last time she was out here, it was her sister's, a big birthday of her sister who also went to Santa Barbara. And she called me up and said, hey, we're going to go to Manhattan Beach and we're going to go back up to Santa Barbara. Do you want to go?
Oh my gosh, how fun.
And I did. I just, you know, jumped on to that trip and we went into the campus and we went and like snuck into our old dorm to look at it. We went to our dorm, which by the way, I know you have been in and spent time in as well.
Yep.
And then our apartment that we lived in for 2 years, some guy happened to be changing the locks and we're like, can we come in? We used to live here again, like 30 something years ago. Right.
Oh my gosh.
He's just some locks. He's like, whatever. He left us in, which we could have robbed the place. And you know, if we really wanted us. And a bunch of guys were living in this apartment at this point. And it was just funny to just take a peek around and look around. And I think I might've sent you the picture, but with son, you know, entering that phase of life right at college, there was this picture of our little tiny kitchen, like filled with containers from, you know, 12 packs or cases of beer or whatever. And I thought to myself, I don't remember that actually happening, but there's picture proof that it did. Maybe that's why I don't remember, is because that was all there. But it was just funny to be inside there. And that, you know, those years are so formative that, you know, certain friends, you know, that I made at that point, you know, that I don't see or talk to that often really hold a special place, you know?
Well, of course, when you live with somebody, it takes you sort of to the next level. Yeah. And I can add to that story because I remember staying in that apartment one time and I don't know where you were, but I slept in your bed right next to her. So she was kind of like my roommate for a night or two. Oh my gosh. And I was also thinking about sometimes friends come out of places that you wouldn't expect. I mean, work friends, but I remember a job I had in Montana, probably the worst job I ever had in property management, only because that type of work sucks in a college town when you have to deal with college students wanting an apartment. But we all just had this experience together. Like it was just so stressful. And so these girls had been doing these ladies' nights. And a lot of them, like maybe I worked with them, we overlapped for a week or two. Some of the ladies in this circle never even worked together, but by virtue of all of us kind of having these ladies' nights and continuing to have social events, they're a great core group of friends of mine that are in Montana. And so I feel really lucky. You know, when I moved to Montana, I felt like my cup overfloweth with friends. You know, I have been so blessed with so many beautiful friends that if I didn't make another one, it was okay because I really had so many, you know, wonderful people in my life. And then this group just kind of came out of this awful work environment and we could just continued. And I was there last summer to celebrate the 50th birthday of one of these girls and we all got together again. So it's just, it's been fun. That part's been really fun. So,
well, and we're never too old to make new friends.
That's true.
And making new friends is, I think, something that keeps you young because you meet new people and you create new experiences and memories with them. And I was just reading, I was sharing with you, I was reading this article in Time Magazine, and they had done a study where the number of Americans reporting that they're lonely is just skyrocketing. And this study was in 2019, so it was before the COVID pandemic.
Oh boy.
So these numbers are probably even worse. But what really struck me were the number of young people, you know, Gen Z, millennials, who are reporting that they're feeling lonely. And this is like in the high 70s percentage of them are reporting feeling lonely. And, you know, I have my unscientific, you know, opinion that it has to do that these are the digital natives, right? These are the kids that live.
I love that term.
I know. And they live on their phones and maybe aren't as adept at truly nurturing friendships that are real, right? That aren't.
Yes. They'll say, oh, I'm going to play games with my friends, which means online people that they've never met.
Right. Right. And so we wanted to share today, we've kind of already in our stories done so, but share a couple things that you can do if you're at that place where, you know, if you're feeling lonely and, wondering, well, what can I do about it? We wanted to share a couple thoughts and ideas on that with you today.
I have one interesting story about that. Recently, a friend of mine that I've known since 1985, she was not a high school friend. She and I worked together at Close Time. If you remember Close Time.
Oh my gosh, that's a great
So that was in 1985 that we met. And then I got my job with TWA, moved to New York, and was living with a gaggle of girls. And, you know, nobody was ever home at the same time. I mean, you would hear the front door lock and you're like, oh, I wonder who that's going to be, because everybody's schedule was all over the place. Anyway, I had a roommate that was moving out to get married. And so we just happened to have an opening, if you will. And I get a call from this girl and she's like, oh my gosh, guess what? I got hired with American. I'm moving to New York. I'm like, girl, move in, because one of my roommates is moving out. So where was I going with this? Oh, she was telling me a story recently because she was here on a layover. So here we are 30 plus years later, we're hanging out. And she was talking about a friend of hers. And I believe it was a fellow law enforcement wife that was living in Northern California and just really was having a hard time meeting friends. And so she puts this all call out on Facebook, like, hey, don't have any friends. If you want to be my friend, great. And my girlfriend said, you know what? That takes a lot of guts. Mm-hmm. So for that fact alone, I'm going to connect with this girl. And then they became friends. And I thought, that's a great story. I mean, she was very vulnerable and put it out there like, you know, I'm lonely. I'm new in this town and I need some friends.
Yeah.
So and that's one way, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Other people are looking for friends too. And so it does take a certain amount of courage, but just action, intention, you know, do something.
Intention.
You
know, yes.
Sign up for something where you might meet people, go somewhere where you might meet people. So sometimes, you know, you can look to those circles of friends too, right? There might be that mom that you sat next to at, you know, up team baseball games when your sons were on the same team, that after the season's done and the kids have maybe gone on to other sports or other things, that you just ask to go for a walk or go to coffee or go to a movie, and that person can move from that outer circle in. So it's really do think about the people that you are casually acquainted with that you might want to get to know better. And then what can you do to pursue that friendship and to nurture it? It's, you know, it's like the little plant, you got to water and feed it and all of that sort of thing. And I think your story really highlights what, you know, putting yourself out there, like you said, being vulnerable.
Yes. I mean, that's a huge, bold move. And I thought, I actually did think, maybe I should do that too.
Well, and sometimes we do things and we don't realize the friends that decision or choice will bring. So for me, I, about 10 years ago, decided I wanted to take a 200-hour yoga teacher training. It's a pretty intense kind of thing. It lasts, you know, 6 months. You have these whole weekends you spend together and every week. And I made some really great friends doing that program. And then that led to me I'd go on yoga trips. I went down to Mexico and to Sedona, Arizona. And I would kind of like that ski trip. I would go, maybe not necessarily knowing anybody else going on the retreat, but because we shared this really strong interest in this core activity, and certain kind of beliefs and value systems that come around that, I always hit it off with people. And a lot of times in those things too, they throw you in a room with somebody. You just get a roommate. And at this age, it's kind of weird to share a random room with a random person, but it really does, you know, increase the rate at which you get to know somebody. And then,
when you're alone too, you don't know anybody else. So you are more open to meeting people. If you and I went together, we'd be probably doing our own thing. I mean, we'd meet people, but I think when you go alone, I mean, you're really putting yourself out there. That's a good experience and exercise in, you know, trusting and really being open to new friendships.
Yeah. you know what, and at all different stages of their lives too. Some of my, the other place I've moved within Orange County, I've moved a bunch of times. And then I tend to pick up a friend in each neighborhood I'm in somehow. It's probably because I'm looking for that. You know, if I think back in recent years, I met a gal recently who's got two youngsters, like babies, right? And so totally different life stage, but she's also an entrepreneurial woman, you know, working. So while we were in different, totally different life stages, my son's going off to college, her son is teething. You know, we struck up a friendship there too. Another neighbor was single, not married, kind of this world traveler working in social consciousness space, and really amazing, amazing person that became really close to. And it's because we lived, you know, right next door to each other, and then found kind of the common thing. And then we just kind of kept hanging out. And now, even though we aren't neighbors anymore, you know, the friendship still kind of, you know, endures.
Well, and she, so this friend you were speaking about with the much younger children, you likely fill a role in her life as a mentor, right? Because you've been through all of these stages, you know, raising your son. So I'm sure that, you know, that adds to the richness of that friendship, because she can say, hey, Janine, you know, XYZ is happening. And you can say, yep, been there. Right. And so I think that, that's something that we didn't really cover in this, but yes, different ages of friendships.
Yeah. I think that'll
different
be
different life stages.
Yeah. I think we'll do a whole episode on that.
Yes.
A bunch of good stories there. So for today though, we hope that you will, consider yourself lucky if you've got those 3 to 5 friends that, you know, will lay down on the tracks for you. You know, we, it's not that we all need to have tons and tons of friends, but you do want to, have those close friendships. And, but also remember that, you know, there's a lot of people that are in your life that can bring the connection that we're looking for through friendships. And sometimes they're in those outer circles and you want to bring them in. And I love this quote by William Butler Yeats, which is, there is no strangers here, only friends you haven't yet met. So every person you encounter is a potential friend if you put yourself out there and seek to be a friend.
Yes, indeed. So we are Girls That Just Want to Tell Stories. And if you were inspired by our episode and want more, you can find us wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And we are picking up in more places all the time, which is very exciting. Yes. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher. We also have posts on Facebook, Instagram, and one day we'll be on YouTube if I can ever get my poop in a group.
And we just added, if you're on iHeartRadio, we're on there now as well.
Yes, that's exciting.
So, and we are going to talk to you next time about traditions. We even alluded, you talked about some of your girls' ladies' nights. And so what kind of traditions that friendships, you know, come from friendships that keep friendships strong. So we have some great stories about some of those things, and including, you know, in our cases, we have these traditions of taking trips together. There's always some fun stories with our girls' trips. So thank you for listening, and thank you for being here.